God our Father,
His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My message is entitled, Shepherding to the End. And it's from the Old Testament reading of Ezekiel. As you listen to it, and I counted the eyes on there, God's word, I counted 23 times that I will go and search, I will gather them, I will be with them, I will put them all together, I will present them to my Father, I will raise up David who will be shepherd over them. And that's wonderful to hear those words. Let's imagine that tomorrow it's been posted all around the house. Jesus is coming today. Jesus is coming today. What would we do? Would we change our schedule or still stick to the schedule? Say, well, it might happen. It might not happen. But it might happen, you know. There we are going back and forth. Probably that's the reason he wouldn't tell us when he's coming. Because we'd be so confused, we wouldn't know what to do, wouldn't know what to believe, you know. We'd be on edge. But these words were spoken to the children of Israel when they were held captive by the Babylonians. The Babylonians came into the Holy Land and took a lot of them, the elite, the smart ones, back to Babylon. And I think they would send them back to govern their own people. But when they were there, they were held as slaves. They were all scattered. In fact, Ezekiel was in the northern portion. Jeremiah was closer to the king. The people finally, well, I guess it comes to them like most of us. We get our backs into the wall. We can't go anymore. We need help. And finally we fold our hands and get on our knees and ask God, help me. Help me. Well, they're no different than you and I. We do the same thing. They did the same thing. They go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what does God tell us? I mean, we're suffering here. We want to go back home. Many of them were happy there. They had already built their homes. And they had heard how the temple had been knocked all over the place. It was no longer there. And some of them went back and started building the wall and started building the temple once more. And these people, some of them, didn't want to go back. Oh, we like it here. It's all right. We've gotten used to it. Why go all the way back to the Holy Land? You know. But some of them still believed God's word. So they come to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what does God say to you? And these are the words that he tells them. The shepherd is coming. The shepherd's going to find you in Babylon, those that are far away. You remember on Pentecost, how many people came back to Jerusalem on Pentecost to worship? And that's when the Holy Spirit was revealed to them. That's when they found out that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And all those people that were there from other countries went out and told what they had seen and heard. And they were glad about it. And they were telling other people about it. But yeah, you know, what we have to do when we forget that we are God's children, we have to read His Word. We have to see what He says, hear what He says to us. We have to get together in Bible class and answer each other's questions that we have about the Bible, about God, about our Jesus, about our Savior, about ourselves. Like this morning, we took a time out to examine ourselves. Are we ready to ask Jesus or God to forgive us? And then this I, as a called servant of God, I say to you, your sins are forgiven. And that should make you feel wonderful, glad. Well, these people had been suffering. Well, Israel's history is suffering. But they suffer because they push God away. They prefer other people. They prefer other gods until God steps in. Steps in. They had religious leaders. And they had good religious leaders. And it goes all the way back to Abraham. God says, Abraham, leave your family. I have a good journey for you, a good life for you planned. This is what I'm going to give you. And from your family, the Savior of the world is going to come. So leave your people behind and follow me. And Abraham did that. I'm going to make from you a big nation. And Abraham went. When he got tired, he built an altar. He talked to God. He went further until he was shown, this is all going to be your land. Your people are going to live here. And Abraham says, I have no children. How can my people live here? I have no children. Oh, you're going to have a child. And finally, he had Isaac, his first child. And he was getting older, and Isaac was getting older, and he was worried. He said, you know, I'd like to see my grandchildren. I'd like to see my great-grandchildren. I'd like to see what you promised. God said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Then he called his servant and said, hey, go look for a wife for my son here. Because these ladies here, they're not our kind. They're not Christian. They don't believe as we believe, that there is a God, a one God. So he goes and he finds a wife for him. And he comes. And they have twins. Esau and Jacob. Esau, you know, was no good guy. Jacob got the promise. From your family, Jacob, is the Savior's to come. And Esau was jealous because he got the promise. I'm going to get you. You tricked my dad into giving it to you. I'm going to get you. And he probably told all his friends, the next time I see my brother alone, I'm going to kill him. What a way for a God-fearing. Or did he lose God? Or did God leave him alone? No, he got away from God. And that's what happened. The further we get away, we start thinking how the world thinks, what the world does, what the world likes. That's further and further, and pretty soon we're in a fix, and we start thinking like the prodigal son. Oh, in my father's house, it was nice, but look at here. I'm eating pig food. And those are the ones that the good shepherd is looking for. He wants to bring them back into the fold. They're scattered. They're all out there. They're suffering. They're suffering. And as we go back to the Israelites, in fact, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He was now a prince because he had a big family. The family of Abraham was growing bigger and bigger. Boy, what a way. But there was still sin in the world. They hated this young man called Joseph. They wanted to kill him, but they said, no, you know, he's our brother. Okay, you know what? Let's sell him. And Joseph was sold into Egypt. And God blessed Joseph because he was a faithful leader, a faithful son of God, one who believed that a Savior was coming. And it was from the family of Abraham, whom Joseph was a member. A big drought came through all the world there, even Egypt. And in the promised land, there was a big drought. Joseph heard about it. Jacob heard about it. He says, why don't you go to Egypt and get some food? There's a man who gathered and prepared himself. So as they come and they meet their brother, Joseph, they remember how they made Joseph suffer. They remembered how they wanted to kill him. And now he said, oh, now he's going to get even with us, like people of this world say. You did this to me, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'll get you. I won't forget. God isn't that way. God says to you and to me, I know what you did, but I forgive you. Why? Because I love you. Because I sent my son to die on the cross for your sins, for your child's sins, for your grandfather's sins. They were in Egypt. In Egypt, they suffered because of a new pharaoh, a new leader, who felt that he was threatened by these people in Goshen, the land of Goshen. They're getting to be more and more because God was blessing them. God was with them. But again, they were getting further and further away from God. They didn't even know who he was. And he chose Moses. Moses up taking care of sheep. A wanted man because he had killed someone in Egypt. God says, take your shoes off, you're holy ground. Who are you? See, even he didn't know God. But then he realized, this is the God that I've been told by my mom, my dad, my grandfather, by our great-great-grandfathers. And some of you were brought to church when your children were baptized. You are children of God. And you bring your children. And your children's children will bring their children. Because you want to belong to that family of God. Well, God raised up Moses. Moses came to the rescue, a good shepherd. He led them across the Red Sea, and the people wondered, who did this? God Almighty. We want water. And there was water that came out of a stone. It was water that they threw a tree into it, bitter water. It tasted good water. Who did this? God did it. They were hungry, and manna from heaven fell. They saw all this. And why do they always go back and sin and sin and sin? Why do we? You know, our conscience bothers us when we do something that's against our conscience. Because it is a sin. We know. Here they got the Ten Commandments. Here they built a tabernacle, a moving church. Here they came and brought their first fruits. And when they went just this side of the Jordan River, and they heard the spies come and say, oh boy, that's our promised land. Forget about it. Let's go back to Egypt. They're big. We're like grasshoppers. They'll kill us all. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God said, all right, you will stay here. You will die in the desert. But your children will cross over into the promised land. And they went over. And God warned them. He said, be careful to those other nations, other people out there. They worship idols. They do things that are contrary to the commandments. Do not mix with them. Be careful. Watch out. And that's what happened. The leaders, the religious leaders, were taking advantage, were changing what God had said. This is what I want you to do. Oh, that's too hard. Let's do it a little way. Let's make, you know, this, you know. When you bring a sacrifice, bring the fat calf. Bring the lamb without blemish. They didn't do that. They brought the skinny, the one that's dying, and they offered it on the altar. And the religious leaders, they accepted it. What difference does it make? We're going to burn it up. We're going to kill it. They start changing. They start bringing idols. They start worshiping. They start marrying outside their own kind. And again, the Lord had to step in there. He sent the Babylonians. They came and overran the whole country, and now they find themselves prisoners, slaves, threatened. And this is what Ezekiel tells them. Here is the word of the Lord. He is searching. He is gathering. But he's going to punish those that have led his people astray. Let's remain faithful. Let's listen to his word. Let's gather those that are out there that are on the edge of giving up on God. Let's be faithful to his word. I'd like to close with the 23rd Psalm. If you take the Bible right in front of you there. I had it marked now, I can't find it. Oh, here's one. Yeah, here it is. Let's read it together, please. The 23rd Psalm is found on page 544. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, amen, amen.